The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
When I'm doing my day job, one of my favorite things to do is walk around the halls of The New Yorker and pick the brains of my very informed colleagues and find out what they're listening to, what they're reading, and what they're watching on TV or seeing at the movies. Joshua Rothman is an editor at The New Yorker, and he writes about all kinds of things, philosophy, science, technology. But lately, there's been just one thing on his mind. One very big thing.
That's him. That's pretty recent.
That is a beautiful child.
He's cute.
You done good, Josh.
He's cute. Thank you.
I'm with my colleague, Josh Rothman, who just had a baby, and it was a stunning 11 pounds, 8 ounces, taking the breath away from everybody at the offices here, and my wife and everybody I know. I told about it. I think I told everybody. How's the baby, first of all?
He's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's good-natured, smiley.
Any tricks?
Not yet, but he's starting to sleep for more than 3 hours at a time.
So can he dunk yet?
He can't dunk. He does. He has a real wingspan. So I think there's a football versus baseball debate happening in the...
No football.
It's going to be the Giants
or Ixnay on the football. Ixnay on the football. So you've got some recommendations for parents and all those who love them.
I do.
Fire away.
Okay. So, in the months leading up to his arrival, as one does, my wife and I read like hundreds of parenting books. And the best book that we read was called Expecting Better. And it's by an economist, actually, named Emily Oster. She's a professor at Brown. And basically, the theory is that she, using her statistical skills, does a vast analysis of all of the parenting studies that exist and tells you which ones are meaningful and which ones actually don't. Wait a minute.
This is what you read, not books about like what kind of blankets to use or what to feed the baby or how to get the baby to sleep. You got a statistical analysis from an economist at Brown.
And it was awesome. And, you know, the big discovery, I mean, I guess if you had to boil it down, it's that being an economist, she's super aware of like socioeconomic factors that confound most parenting studies.
So what did you learn?
So, for example, there's a lot of studies saying, don't drink while you're pregnant, right? But as we all know, in some countries, people do drink while they're pregnant. So
right. It
kind of makes you wonder, what's the deal? It turns out that most of these studies have some kind of socioeconomic confound, some kind of variable that messes it up. Usually it has to do with the fact that mothers who drink more are poorer than mothers who drink less. Mm-hmm. When you find the studies that actually account for all those variables, all those socioeconomic variables, to which Emily Oster is especially sensitive because she's an economist. It turns out you can have like 1 to 2 glasses of wine and it's fine.
Per day,
which is what people do in other countries. So that's what we did.
How else did it help you?
I think the big thing it made you do was just like use your head instead of being freaked out all the time.
Were you freaked out all the time, anticipating your first child?
Yeah, a little bit, I think. Yeah.
What freaked you out the most?
I guess, like, I had visions of it being a lot scarier than it was, or than it's turned out to be. Mm. Like, I thought that the whole having kids thing would be way less fun and just way more alarming. Like, the way it was the first, like, couple days in the hospital where I didn't know what I was doing and felt incompetent and terrified.
That you'd break the baby in some
way. Exactly, that I'd break the baby.
What else?
Okay, the other thing I did was I read lots of dad blogs. Like tons of dad blogs.
You're making me feel so guilty.
Dad blogs are like unbelievable. They're all obsessed with gear, you know, like baby stuff that dads can buy. A lot of them have a, for lack of a better word, like a tactical sensibility. Like,
what does that mean?
It means a lot of the stuff looks sort of militaristic, and there's a whole kind of like tactical dad, like you're ready for all eventualities. You have a backpack with tons of pockets in it, and it has like a special compartment for diapers and another special compartment for onesies.
So like military cargo pants, but for the baby.
Yeah, somehow I got down this rabbit hole, and there was one blog that I found recommended. It went through the best tiny flashlights for a dad to own to be prepared for anything. And I bought one, and I have it here, and it's awesome. It's made by this company called Raylight.
Wait, you were having a child or going on a
expedition.
An expedition into like the jungles of Indonesia.
So it's like this.
Look at this thing.
Huge brass heavy flashlight.
Oh my God. It looks like it's about 5 inches long, and you would find it buried under the sea in some sort of Jules Verne expedition. The thing weighs 22 pounds.
It's awesome. And the main reason it's great
it's awesome.
Is it has this special low light mode that you can use to inspect like the diaper situation in the dark without waking your kid. So you can go on like a covert mission.
Little tip here from a longtime parent. You should be able to do that with your eyes closed, my friend.
That might be true.
Sense of smell should give it right away.
So okay. this has been like the best thing.
I use it
every night.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. We've got a book. We got the flashlight.
Yeah. And then I guess in the year up to when our baby was born, I had read the Norwegian novelist Karl Ove Knausgård has this series of books that he's written that are letters to his unborn daughter. And he wrote 4 books. They're each named after season. So there's like autumn, winter, spring, summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's this like hyper sweet concept. And I had read these books. They sort of encouraged you to think about what life would be like for this new person. And they made you think about how when you had this kid, you would like see life differently too. And the first of those books, which is called Autumn, Knausgård has this little essay called Infants, and it's just about babies. So he writes, "Holding an infant close to one's body is one of the great joys in life, perhaps the greatest. This is when the child is newborn and so tiny that the adult's palms nearly cover its little body completely, when its gaze seems to float and only rarely fastens on something in its surroundings. And one senses that for the baby, being in the world is almost exclusively sensual. The warmth and softness of the body that the infant nestles against, the lukewarm milk that fills its tummy, sleep which overcomes it so deliciously every few hours. For the newborn infant, everything revolves around equalizing the differences between itself and the surroundings, getting everything warm, close, soft. A sudden drop in temperature opens a chasm between the infant and reality. So does a sudden sound or a sudden movement, and it screams. Satisfying these simple demands is a pleasure, because they're simple, because doing so involves an interaction, a rhythm, a song, and because the closeness it requires fulfills a wish, which is almost a desire, to protect, to give, to care for."
Joshua Rothman, a newly minted father, reading from Karl Ove Knausgård's essay collection, Autumn.